Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We are talking about seven ways to choose healing, and we've gone through most of the ways. Now we're just talking about, you know, let's say you're really down in the dumps and you've been working. You understand that we all need to heal. You've worked on getting connections in your life and feeling your life again and investigating and thinking and reflecting. You've taken time out to grieve, and you're helping your life. You've embraced your life. You're taking risk. You've forgiven those, but you still have those days where you just sink down into deep, dark depression. Well, we talked about two keys to get out of that. One is service, and the other one's perseverance. And the story about Gideon and his call to serve and how hard it was for him to believe the Lord was calling him. Remember the part where it says, "Pardon me, Lord," but this is Gideon talking, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Well, we might feel that way in this day and age. We might feel that we've been abandoned by God. And that's where we go out and we serve. Whatever our hand finds to do, we do it with all of our might. It doesn't do any good to sit there and do nothing. One of the most significant parts of this story is Gideon's response. When you look at it closely, Gideon's pointing out to God. He's calling out to God. And God is calling him to serve. God chooses each one of us to do something, and that's what we need to do. If you're weak like Gideon, then you're perfect. If you are wounded, then you're perfect. If you're untalented, then you're perfect. Do you think you need to have more healing before you serve others? It's not true. Begin today. Where can you serve? It's one of the reasons why I love to work, because I'm serving all these little kids all the time, and it takes my mind off from my own troubles. Our verse today is, "He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with comfort we ourselves receive from God." 2 Corinthians 1:4. What a beautiful promise. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We continue to pray for the family that's their young teenage daughter is suffering from COVID. We pray for Mr. Gamblin and his struggle with panic attacks and infection. We pray for those that are listening that they will find their joy. We won't let Satan steal our joy. Rejoice always. And Lord, we pray for our nation. We just praise you because we know you're coming back again soon to save us. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers and for loving us. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, January can be a pretty bleak and cold month. I mean, we've talked about making winter scenes and how to blow frozen bubbles. I still have yet to be successful at that. The temperature turned warm right when we wanted to do it. It'll cool up here. So one of the things that you can do is you can look at what causes are celebrated in January. And some that I'm aware of, there's the National Birth Defects Prevention. That January is the month that we celebrate that. There's cataract awareness. There's cervical cancer awareness, National Glaucoma Awareness, National volunteer blood donor awareness, thyroid awareness, National Folic Acid Week. I don't know what that's all about. Also, National Personal Self-Defense Awareness, to name a few. So you might ask your children to do some research and pick something that you really want to focus on for the month of January. And then you can make all your crafts and research and curriculum go around that. So that's just an idea for arts and crafts. I'm not putting anything particularly significant in my Pinterest board, but I know that you could come up with something probably far better than I can. I am going to focus on Martin Luther King in January, and I'm going to also look at snow. So we've been working on snow, making a snow study, and I did put on the Pinterest site a link to where you could get a snow study, and it was so, for the money that you spent, it was so weak. So do your own snow study, you know, collect your own resources or have your students do it. Curriculum Corner. Early on, someone had asked at what age they would let their child get into social media, whether it's Snapchat or Facebook. And the thing that I'm so happy most of my grandkids are using is Messenger Kids, and it allows us to text each other and also video call each other. And it's really fun because you can send stickers, and the kids themselves can grow their pet. They can pick questions for their friends. They can play a drawing game. And, you know, these drawing games are really cool. I'm going to talk about a drawing game tomorrow. You can send photos, you can play healthy habits, you can learn other things, you can add friends, and it's all a safe place because you as the parent totally vet everything that goes through that. So Messenger Kids is another tool that you can actually use in educating your children about safety with social media, and at the same time, in a fun way, you can do some things that really connect to your goals in your curriculum. Questions parents ask. Well, we had talked a little bit yesterday about the struggling reader. I think we left off there. And I just wanted to go in a little bit more detail because reading is a skill that we really need to master, if at all possible. Sometimes there's been so much damage to the occipital lobe with injury or surgery that it's impossible to learn. But if we can, then we need to, because it's just like teaching a stroke victim to walk again. We need to teach that child to read in the most loving, patient, and consistent manner. And one of the tools that I like to use is called Blast Off to Reading. It starts at a pretty basic level with the vowels, the short vowels. A is an apple, ah, apple. E is an elephant, ah, elephant. I is an igloo, ih, igloo. And O is an octopus, ah, ah. And the cool thing is it gives you some pictures with these, and I put them up, and then we learn consonant, vowel, consonant words. Every consonant, vowel, consonant word we can possibly learn. We learn to read those words, and we might have to say k, a is an a, k, a, at, or we might have to say b, b, igloo, bit, t, and really just patiently do it. Start at the very beginning. The one book I use is called Blast Off to Reading, and it was very inexpensive on Amazon. I think I got it for $14.95. It has apps with it, so I can play online with it. It has worksheets that the child can do. The only problem I've had is finding good readers, so I put with it Raz Kids, and I'll talk about that in another section when I talk about technology. Raz Kids you have to pay for, but it gives you such a wide breadth of books. And I've also written some of my own books so that they would have short vowel sounds. And there's a series that's under Teacher Made that does all the short vowel sounds, like Dot had a pot. There was a lot of stuff in the pot. That kind of thing where you're using these short vowel sound words in a book. And if someone has an idea of where you can get a lot of those books, I think I'll just have to write my own. But it certainly helps for them to start actually reading the words that they're learning how to decipher. Well, that covered all the time I have for questions parents ask. So if you have any questions, please, you know, send them to me. Call me, 301-824-3162. And I'll try to answer them. It's just my advice, so take it for whatever it's worth. Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and let's take up where we left off yesterday. And I'm talking with Steve Simpson. He has written four novels, but embedded or with these novels is the Teenage and Young Adult Survival Handbook. And prior to the break, he was sharing with you about the verbal and physical abuse that he was going through. And I'm just listening to this and seeing how, you know, your classmates, that those people you discovered that were in the self-help groups that encouraged you to, you know, hey, you're not dumb, you're not stupid, and the library there for you, you know, little tokens of God's leading in your life.
Well,
at the same time,
this new school, there was a teacher there, and what is the first brand new school, first day of it? It was a Friday, I remember that. And what is the assignment? It's a creative writing assignment. Mm. And of course, I read it right there. And oh no, you have the whole weekend. Oh, no, you can look at it. I'm done. And she couldn't. You're amazing. This, I can't believe. So all these encouragements, and mm-hmm. I could have done that. And when I was picking on these smart kids, I didn't realize I was one of them. Okay, so this is important there to people. How many other young people are walking around not knowing their abilities, not knowing you are one of the smart kids, which is some of the things I discussed in the Teenage Young Adult Survival Handbook that's in the other books, that I share these personal experiences with them, because there's tons of these young people out there like that, and they just don't realize it right now. I use that same confidence to be successful in business, and of course as a writer with four mm-hmm. books out now. And that's my pride, you know, to discuss this. I've run a self-help group myself for years, helping individuals like I was when I was younger, and just sharing my experience with them. And the key to know is that, you see, I always thought, like most, that I was the only one with that problem, you know.
Yes.
And you're not, you know, but I always thought that. And that's so important. That's one of the things I stress in the books, to make them identify. I do anecdotal like I did just now, so they get it, so they know, okay, they know that, okay, wait, I relate to this guy. I'm not the only mm-hmm. one. And that's just so important, because another thing I want to stress to listeners is, okay, I was kind of obvious that I had problems. So it was obvious. But a lot of students hide it, like the ones I discussed would be great in school. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, they have been valedictorian, who have been suicidal. Mm-hmm. Okay. So any parent who's listening says, well, yes, my husband was abusive, but I divorced him years ago. And my son or daughter does great in school. They don't need therapy. Don't take that position because you don't know what's going on in their head. Or they could end up in really horrible relationships because of their childhood, mm-hmm. one after the other. So I always stress to parents, if you have a child that lived through any of these things, they need some type of help mm-hmm. there. It's funny, even the books, people have said that would parents read them? I said, definitely the nonfiction parts, because they would also get an idea, this is what my son thinks, that's what my daughter thinks, like that's why she does that. And they get the idea of that, which is just so important. I also want to stress to anyone listening to this, that obviously, as we all know, the rates have gone up astronomically. Mm-hmm. One thing I can share with someone who might be thinking of this and knows someone that's thinking of suicide is this. You know, I have known, because of my volunteer work, many individuals who were suicidal, many, including I put myself in that number, all walks of life. And for those that have tried it, but thank God did not die, wasn't God's will, or those who have thought about it but never tried it, they all have one thing in common. And I don't mean half road, I don't mean 90%, I mean 100%. They are all glad they never did it. They never died. They never committed suicide. Why? Because things always got better. No matter how grim things were, no matter how hopeless things were, things always got better. Now, sometimes we do have to take the first step, okay, if someone's in school, to speak to the school social worker or counselor. I used to go, I know what they're going to say. Well, I was wrong. They said a lot of things I didn't know they're going to say. There's also local community centers. And you know what? Churches are a wealth of different things inside them, like self-help groups, 12-step programs, outreach. It doesn't have to be a church that you belong to, but I recommend people to visit different ones. And usually whatever pastor will be able to direct you for free, you know, to these different things. Mm-hmm. There's also some very important numbers. There's the National Suicide Prevention Line, which is 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255. And the National Runaway Safe Line, which is 1-800-RUNAWAY, 1-800-RUNAWAY, because even if a young person isn't leaving the state, they just do what I did, like staying at different friends' houses regularly, that's also dangerous because predators pick up on that, and they'll mm-hmm. zoom in on that and offer them, quote, shelter. You know, so those are important things to keep in mind as well.
Hey, I want to share with our listeners that they can go to your website, powerpublishingcorp.com, and it's all spelled out.
Power Publishing Corp, C-O-R-P, powerpublishingcorp.com.
And there's four books, Who Am I?, The World is Wrong, Child's Island, and Runaway. Which one did you write first?
Well, it's funny. All of them are ideas I had since I was a boy, believe it or not. Okay? But the first one written was Runaway, which was redone, then Child's Island, and then Who Am I and The World is Wrong. And they're all individual stories, but I'll give a little spoiler. In some of the books, the characters do meet each other and help each other out in the fiction parts. Mm-hmm. And every one of them have, of course, the Teenage Young Adult Survival Handbook in them, which is important. And that's made up, like I said, over experiences that I've had and how I've survived, and also things that I've said over the years, perhaps members of my youth group that have helped, and I put them in there as well, that I know are effective. Because the whole key is to get the young person to have hope, know they're not the only one, and to get help, to go forward, however that help is.
Yeah, I look at the young people that I come in contact with, and all of them have a number of these issues. But what age group would you recommend would be most appropriate for reading?
I would say middle school, high school, and college. Middle school straight up. Although, ironically, I've had adults read them and say, if they've lived these lives, then I got a lot from that. Like adult children of alcoholics, they love it as well. But as far as my target audience, it's middle school, high school, and college. They appreciate the most, and they really enjoy it. Those are ones that are also zero on the fiction ones. They relate to the characters. They think it's really funny. They're into the stories. Even those that don't read as much like it because they said, this is what I like. This is original.
Yeah, and are you taking any steps to make them into audiobooks?
Not audiobooks yet. I have them, of course, as the e-books as well right now. And there was some interest also, ironically, by one of those agencies someone undisclosed was thinking of a movie of one of them because they liked the action so much in one of the books.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was interesting. And and right now, though, the hard, but I love the fact that I do have the e-books. I love the hard copy ones because you can hand it off to the young person. You can leave it around, you know, for them to pick up and look at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, and say, and sometimes a parent is trying. A lot of single parents say, I'm trying to get my child help. I know they've been affected by my ex. But I can't get them to. So I say, buy them and leave them on their bed. What is
mm-hmm.
this? Merry Christmas. You know, they're really cool stories. Yeah, out of curiosity, they're going to look, what is this handbook in the back of this? What is this? You know, the book within the book idea. And
yeah.
A lot of parents will do that because they figure it's just a matter of them getting that information, open their eyes up, you know, to see.
I know that, you know, I commute a lot and I have kids that travel with me. And so the audiobooks are great. They're just a great calming thing in the car to have something to listen to other than this the radio station that might change as you go over a mountain or whatever.
Yes.
And then I also I deal with a number of children that are dyslexic. And a child who's dyslexic, not only have they, you know, if they've suffered verbal abuse or physical abuse, then they also know that they can't do what all the other kids are doing when it comes to reading. And so I just, you know, if you think about it, that's just a little plug for that person that may be more audio.
Definitely a point there as well. Definitely a point there. You made me think of something. You said the dyslexic too, and kids with different issues. I want to cover something very important fast too. You hear a ton of talk of bullying today in schools,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of unfortunate suicides have stemmed from them. And I have to say this, and this is a general statement, I know that everyone fits in this category, so I'll say that at the beginning. But many of the children who are bullied, who take it to such extreme, you ever ask the question, why did that one take it so seriously but that
mm-hmm.
one didn't? What was the difference? These two kids. And a lot of times it's because that child is being bullied at home. I call
mm-hmm.
it the domestic bully, the abusive
yes.
parent. So what happens is, you know, you ever have it in school or sometimes even at work, you're making a joke to different people, tease them, but there's that one that always overreacts. And you say, come
mm-hmm.
on, I said to everybody, why do you have to get so serious for it? Because that person might abuse at home.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they get to school or work, they've had it. And now you're doing it to them. So their skin, so to speak, is really thin as opposed
mm-hmm.
to the average person. So when you see sometimes a child really reacting like extreme, when you say, hey, was that bit of an insult? It could be because they're having it at home. I did that. I mean, kid would say
mm-hmm.
something, I'd swing at him right away. And like, whoa, that, and the teacher would say, that was really uncalled for. I know he should have said that, but your reaction, what they didn't know was that I was being ripped apart by my father all
mm-hmm.
night long, even in the morning sometimes, the way to school. And that was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yes.
And that's so important to think about that. We also have November, which is National Runaway Awareness Month. And I want to also point out that this happens a lot, too. A child runs away. They get the child home, and they run away again, and they think this child has problem. What they don't
yes.
realize is most runaways are running away because they're being abused. And
yes.
you're labeling the child. And I said that running away, they're escaping, you know, and that's the
yeah.
term I use. So we need to be aware of those things as well, you know, the denial inside of households. Something. You know that old
yes.
line, I don't know why they did it.
Yeah.
You probably do.
Wow, what a great note to end this show on. And I just feel like I've only just begun. If you want to know more, please go to Steve Simpson's website, powerpublishingcorp.com. It's all spelled out just like you hear it. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.